Subdivision 2016-4, Lewis Crossing Subdivision Phase 8, BDRP LLC.
This is a major subdivision plan to subdivide 19.52 acres into 42 lots with private roads and open space. Subdivision will be a part of Lewis Crossing and will have access off of Francis Ann Street. Property is located on the south side of Beaver Dam Road, approximately 1,436 feet west of Salt Marsh Boulevard. The property is zoned AR1 Agriculture Residential. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 222.01. I would ask Ms. Cornwell to provide any additional comments we receive from agencies through our TAC process.
Again, as it's a major subdivision, it did go through the county's TAC process, and we received the following comments. The U.S. Department of Agriculture provided information regarding the soil types. DENREC, the Division of Watershed Management, the Division of Fish and Wildlife, the Division of Tank Management Section, and the Wetlands and Subaqueous Land Sections all provided comments. Received comments from the Office of Drinking Water. Delta also provided comments, and the Sussex County Engineering Department, Public Works and Utility Planning Divisions noted that the development would need to annex into the adjacent sewer district. The applicant did submit an exhibit booklet that includes renderings of the plan and other maps. They also included a response to section 99.9C of the subdivision code. It also included an environmental assessment report, and then a letter from Tidewater indicating that they are able to provide water service. And it also included findings of fact. Thank you.
All right, then. Well, once again, it's Mr. Schrader, a triple header. This is interesting.
Good evening, Mr. Wheatley. It's nice to see you again.
Yes, of course. Well, for the record, you are.
Do we have his barcode?
Sure, number 53.
Right up to Caesar. 53, yeah.
Which is about 2,000 lower than Mr. Robertson's, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're up in the high four digits now, right?
We're getting there. Yeah. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Schrader from the firm of Morris James here in Georgetown. I have the opportunity to represent the developer tonight in the proposed expansion of Lewis Crossing to be known as Phase 8. I have with me the owner's representative, which is Megan Connor, and I also have with me a representative from Pannoni Associates, who is representing the design team. If this project looks familiar to you, and I assume that it does, I believe this is the third time that the three of us have convened in front of you on this project. And I'm not going to get into the history, but we keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we try to drill down to what is an acceptable Phase 8 for Lewis Crossing. This is a standard lot subdivision in an environmentally sensitive development overlay zone, so it needs to require some, if not all, of the statements that are made in Section 115.25 of the Land Use and Development Code. This expansion is permitted under the covenants and conditions that apply to Lewis Crossing and the First Amendment. Those covenants and that First Amendment to the covenants are made a part of the exhibit book that we've already submitted to you. And in that amendment to the covenants, it identifies this particular site, the 19 acres, and actually ambitiously indicates that there may be as many as 150 dwelling units placed on this site. I notice that Mr. Ross is probably smiling again, knowing full well that that's about 110 more than we're probably going to be successful with during this process. Nonetheless, the covenants were amended and were made a part of the public offering statement that was given to all of the purchasers in Lewis Crossing prior to their closings, and they all have had the opportunity to understand how they work. Within this particular project, we do have 19.9 acres. We are looking for 42 acres as a single family dwelling community. I won't bore you with the details of the land use plan, the state strategies map, because they continue to remain the same. This property would still be served by Sussex County as a matter of wastewater treatment and disposal. Tidewater will still be available for the water supply and the members of the public who would buy into this particular project will be part of the homeowners association for self-governance and paying the maintenance and costs associated with all of Lewis Crossing. And with those thoughts in mind, I will turn the floor over to Mr. Davidson, who will present the technical detail.
Good evening once again. My name is Mark Davidson, principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located in Milton, Delaware. As was introduced, we are proposing a 42-lot expansion to the existing Lewis Crossing subdivision. This expansion will occur on the 19.52 acres of land that is immediately north of the Phase 7 of what is Lewis Crossing and immediately south of what is Henlopen Landing subdivision. We are providing, as part of this subdivision, I have provided some 99-9C notes, as well as the 115-194.3. And as I go through my application here, I will touch on the issue or on the aspects of each one of those chapters in the subdivision and zoning code. As it was introduced, we were not required to go back before the state planning office, but we have incorporated a lot of the state planning comments. This did have to go through TAC, so we did address a lot of most of the TAC comments when we received them prior to the 10-day submittal prior to this public hearing tonight. So a lot of the site plans that have been submitted before you do address the majority of those comments, as well as comments made by the planning and zoning office. So I will be discussing those. Since our previous applications, we went back and we took a look at the land planning of this, and we went ahead and expanded the actual existing single-family subdivision that is known as Lewis Crossing. As part of this site here, our access to these 42 lots will be through Phase 7, which is the entrance for Phase 7 is, I don't know if it's noticeable on this aerial here, but it's previously been constructed. Phase 7 has not been constructed at this time. It is sitting vacant right now, the field is, but our access, and I've provided these maps in the hearing booklet, you'll notice that we will be accessing through the Francis Ann Street to the Phase 8 portion of this subdivision. You will notice on the site planning of this that we are providing the 20-foot landscape buffer around the entire site. We did provide a couple of stormwater management ponds that will most likely function as wet ponds on this site. And the reason for this is because the road improvements along Beaver Dam Road that was part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision and as well as the entrance to Phase 7 already being constructed, we wanted to alleviate additional truck traffic bringing fill into the site in order to help build the roads and all the infrastructure. So having these aesthetic ponds, and again, these will be these ponds will be used for stormwater as well as the aesthetic value to the addition to Lewis Crossing. We are proposing street trees, and we do meet the minimum requirement for the landscape buffer going around the entire circumference of this piece of property. We have provided the sufficient dedications to DLDOT along Beaver Dam Road. We are going to be extending the shared use path that's already been constructed along Beaver Dam Road. We're going to extend that across the frontage of our property. Although we are not going to be accessing Beaver Dam from this phase at this time, we will be required to improve upon the road frontage along Beaver Dam Road as was done for the existing Lewis Crossing. So 11-foot wide lanes shoulders. We'll have to handle the stormwater management from the additional widening of Beaver Dam Road. The minimum, the average lot size that we're proposing for this expansion is about 9,120 square feet. I believe the smallest one that we'll propose is about 8,250. And then it goes, it does go up from there for the average of 9,120 square feet. Our density for this site, again, this is a standard lot subdivision, as was Lewis Crossing. The density for Lewis Crossing and the environmentally sensitive developing overlay zone is 2.178, and we are at 2.15. The existing Lewis Crossing, again, just to kind of blend us all together and kind of put it all as one project, the existing area for Lewis Crossing is 88.44 acres. It has 37% open space for Lewis Crossing. There are 192 lots, and their density is 2.17. With our expansion, we're adding 19.52 acres. We're adding 40% open space as part of our layout here for the expansion of that, adding, again, the 42 lots and the density being 2.15. And that takes the total for the entire site about 108 acres, 107.96. There will be 40 and a half acres of open space, which equates to about 38% of the site, and then 234 total lots with a density of 2.17 lots per acre. Again, we took this design of the site and we integrated it into the existing neighborhood. As you can see, in this area here, single family lots. So with the Lewis Crossing under construction right now, again, the single family lots and the lot sizes of the average of 9,000 square feet will work well with what's already within the neighborhood. There are no wetlands on the property, and we are outside the 500 year floodplain. We did submit an environmental study for the project. And again, in that environmental study is the phase one environmental site assessment that we did. We also did the environmental feasibility study. And there was nothing natural, the historic preservation of the site. There was nothing found on the site after doing an extensive study of the project. Again, I talked about open space. We are proposing sidewalks within the property. Again, they will connect to the existing sidewalks that are already part of phase seven. The sidewalks will also, through our open space and recreation planning of the property, we will connect the sidewalks to the shared use path along Beaver Dam Road. Within the site for stormwater management, one of the questions that came out through the TAC comments, and it was a previously comment in the from the state planning office during a previous application. Henlopen Landing, the existing subdivision for Henlopen Landing right now, in this area right here, is a stormwater management pond for Henlopen Landing, and their discharge for that pond runs down this area here of phase eight for Lewis Crossing. And then it works its way across the farmlands of the Rollins family and then into Goslin Creek. As you will notice, our site here, here's the stormwater pond, here's the discharge, here's the open space to our pond, and then we will look at relocating and making sure that we pass through safely the stormwater. So our project will not hinder anything that's happening with Henlopen Landing. We will pass their stormwater as it's doing now straight through our site, take that into consideration during the design, and again, that will be one of the requirements that will be required by the Sussex Conservation District. Water supply for this site is through Tidewater Utilities as part of the Lewis Crossing project. A 16-inch water main was run from Henlopen Landing down Beaver Dam Road into Lewis Crossing. We have connections to this particular property. In the booklet, I submitted a, I just went ahead and resubmitted the email we received from the Sussex County Engineering Department. There are 100 EDUs allocated for this property. A sewer stub has already been placed across Beaver Dam Road and to the corner of this property here. That was part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision. We're proposing 42 lots, so there will be a decrease in what was allocated for the property. The prevention of pollution in surface and groundwater, again, through the stormwater practices and through the new stormwater regulations that are currently in effect in the state of Delaware, through the use of the ponds that we're proposing. Again, we will reduce the amount of pollution, and we will also be looking at doing a nutrient protocol study for the site, and that will be submitted to the state as part of our approval process. Again, the provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement, again, sidewalks connecting to the existing sidewalks, sidewalks connecting to the shared use path, a shared use path being connected, and then the utilization of one entrance on Beaver Dam Road, and again, going through phase seven. No additional entrances will be constructed on Beaver Dam Road. We don't feel that through the covenants and restrictions that are already in place, we don't feel that there's going to be any adverse effect on the property area values. The effects on schools, again, these are we don't feel that there's going to be any negative effect on the school system in the area. And again, with the effect of the area roadway and public transportation, this if you recall back in the previous applications, was required in lieu of a traffic impact study to submit a fee in lieu of. They will have to continue to submit that fee in lieu of. So they will be, as well as doing the improvements along Beaver Dam Road in front of the property, they will have to do the fee in lieu for the additional 42 lots as a part of this application. And again, I already went over the compatibility of the land use of this project with the other land use in the area, and I talked about the effects on the area waterways. And with that, I will turn this back over to Mr. Schrader.
And I'll call or ask Ms. Conner to step forward, please. And you are?
Megan Conner.
And you are a principal of the developer and owner and applicant, is that correct?
Yes,
And you've had an opportunity to hear what Mark and I have had to say on behalf of the application. Does the developer accept that as if it had made those statements itself?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Megan will be available for any questions if you have any as we go forward. At this point, let me just summarize for you that this project, again, is a third iteration of Lewis Crossing Phase 8. Originally, it was 4.10 acres, units per acre. It was then drifted down to 2.62, now we're at 2.15, which is not a large difference, but it is just under half a dwelling unit per acre, smaller than what had previously appeared. One of the benefits by this particular design, I know will probably be addressed by Mr. Johnson, and that is that the proposed entrance that had previously been set forth for the two iterations that appeared before was much closer to the Five Points area. Now by using the Phase 7 entrance to Beaver Dam Road, any traffic generated by this will be farther away from the intersection that neither of us likes very much. And we both think, I think, it needs a little help from down
by. Time the traffic can back up even further before you get to the entrance.
I think you and I agree that DelDOT needs to do something with that. Nothing that you or I can control. There are, as you know, typically proposed conditions and finding fact, which have been as set out in tab 10 of the exhibit books that we have provided to you. The standard subdivision and an ESDOZ, and we're available to answer questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Okay. There are no amenities planned for this.
That is correct.
Will they be sharing the amenities of Lewis Crossing?
Phase 8 of Lewis Crossing will be a part of the greater Lewis Crossing project. It is all Lewis Crossing. There is a Phase 7,
which is on our side of the road, and then there will be phases 1 through 6 that are on the other side of the road. And all of the owners in the proposed phase 8 will be members of the Lewis Crossing Homeowners Association.
And you mentioned that when the other properties were sold, it was noted that this property was part of it and would be developed?
It is a part of the restrictive covenants that control both phases 1 through 7 and phase 8. And phase 8 is specifically identified in the restrictive covenants as a potential future expansion for up to 150 units. Again, I think the number is high, but that is identified, and that does appear in tab 6A and B of the exhibit book that you have before you. And it also appeared in the public offering statement that is required by Duke Iowa.
The drainage swale that Mark mentioned, do you see that as being closed? Do you see that as just being an open swale? It goes from the one crossing and crosses.
It's going to be integrated into our stormwater management design in the development of the phase 8 portion of it.
You see it being piped, or you just see
No. We're not. It's going to be open as part of, as I showed here, we left some open space here so that that can drain straight down through to our stormwater pond. We'll take care of any additional management of it, but we're going to pass it straight on through and then go ahead and let it. Either we can try to infiltrate it if we can, or it's just going to continue to pass on through like it has been doing as part of the original design for Hennepin Landing.
So the outfall of that would then just be onto the Rollins farm?
That's correct. The outfall for the Hennepin Landing pond is a stone outlet. There's no pipe sticking out. It's just a stone outlet, if I recall. That's the same thing that we would do on our side. Would just be provide a, there's not enough depth there to be able to do it by a pipe, so it will all be done through a grass outlet or a stone outlet.
Okay, and you mentioned sidewalks. Are they on both sides?
Yes, they are.
And is there any thought to accessing that sidewalk? I don't know how you get there unless you go all the way out the entrance. This new multi-mode.
Oh, through the open space, through the with the amenities or the recreation that we're proposing for the site, there's an opportunity to maybe possibly make an adjustment to a lot here and go straight out, or through this open space here we can meander and then the open space is going to be passive open space, so there's going to be a lot of opportunities to be able to walk around the pond, but we'll be able to connect through here. I mean, we have a pretty large open space in this area that will be right adjacent to the shared use path.
There is 40% of this project is open space.
Yeah, I just don't see any access to it.
There will be access during our final design of the site.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay, Mr. Johnson. In looking at this addition, granted if it's approved, how are the lot sizes, what's the similarities or differences in what's currently being built? The lot size is going to be about the same?
Yeah, I
know the density.
If I recall,
the
lot sizes, the average lot size, I believe, in Lewis Crossing was 9,069 square feet, and our average lot size is 9,120.
So they're essentially the same. And the housing type would be similar
style of housing.
Because as we all know, part of the concern before with some of the existing residents was that they didn't think, when they bought in it, they didn't think there was going to be townhouses or duplexes or whatever. They thought they were buying into a single family development.
And these also will be single family dwellings, Mr. Johnson.
Given the addition of these additional homes, are there going to be any other amenities under consideration?
Yes.
Not just here, but
I think as part of the overall plan to create this neighborhood here, and especially being across the road on Phase 7 and Phase 8, I think some additional amenities will be planned within the open spaces of both Phase 7 and Phase 8.
Because I don't recall a whole lot of stuff, but I do recall some people who were concerned that the existing facilities that they have are not sufficient, or were not sufficient for the subdivision as it was, let alone, you know, the additional that was going to come with the prior project. So that's my concern, is, you know, now we're adding more. Is there any plans for a Phase 9, 10, 11?
Not at this time.
No. Ran out of land.
Well, there's some other additional land around it, but that. So you look at this as basically as an infill project?
Yes.
And in terms of this being the phase number that it is, like the project we just finished with earlier, the public hearing, is there an ability to put in a construction entrance for at least part of the construction of this project? So you're not having to,
I think,
meander through Phase 7 and 8.
Again, yeah, with the addition, I mean, again, the entrance for Phase 7 has been constructed, and the improvements along Beaver Dam Road along the exit have been completed. So
right. There
is an opportunity to provide for a construction entrance somewhere along Phase 8 to be able to not only help construct Phase 8, but also work with Phase 7, and that'll alleviate congested traffic at the intersection.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think we're all very familiar with this project, and given the extensive exhibit booklet that was presented for this particular application, I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Ross.
You can call me Mr. Smith. I'd be okay. I'm sitting in his seat. You know, Mr. Schrader, I think by George, I think you've got it, you know, finally. As I recall, you mentioned density a couple of times, but I don't recall we ever got past the change in zone to get to talk about density. We just got stopped in the change in zone, you know, but now we don't have that change in zone. So, you know, we can talk about the density, and, you know, obviously this is on par with Lewis Crossing, the expansion of Lewis Crossing. The questions from the citizens before was, you know, the zoning is different, the density is different. It's just not compatible with what we expected when we bought Lewis Crossing. And you fix that. I thank you. No questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Vandeweghe. Ms. Cornwell.
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
No questions.
Council.
No, none at this point.
All right, then. Gentlemen, please take a seat nearby, and we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of Subdivision 2016-4, Lewis Crossing Subdivision Phase 8? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to Subdivision 2016-4? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Good evening. My name is Keith Johansson. I've been a resident of Lewis Crossing since November of 2014. March 14th, we had our first Property Owners Association meeting, and I was elected the homeowners representative to the executive board, and I'm here tonight to object to this addition. One of the reasons, as has been previously mentioned, this is the third iteration of this, and one of the complaints previous to this was it was never presented to the homeowners. We now have 54 homes settled, and this has not been presented to us, just like the other iterations weren't presented to us. At our meeting on the 14th, there was a resolution as to whether or not we should accept this new development into our association and share our amenities, and it did not pass with the required 70% votes, as according to the declarations. The first corrected amendment, I believe it's been stated that all homeowners had received that. I closed on November of 2014. I received my POS in February of 14, and neither of those amendments were in my POS, nor was I notified of them before my closing. After my election, the developer reached out to me.
I hear what you're saying, but that first amendment was recorded on July 25, 2014. So the fact of the matter is it was in your chain of title, and whether you physically received it or not, it was of record and you were on constructive notice of it.
Okay, I never received notice of it. It was not in my POS. But after my election, the developer reached out to me and offered that he would add $20,000 for new amenities for the community if homeowners would not object to this addition. I brought that to the advisory committee, and they brought it to the homeowners, and the homeowners came back and asked me to have the developer postpone this hearing. The developer didn't want to postpone this hearing. He then floated the idea of going back to the duplexes with having a separate HOA. I sent that to the advisory committee, and that actually addressed most of our concerns, so we were willing to support that. He was to have a meeting with his lawyer and engineer on April 6th. In regards to that, I followed up on the 7th, 11th. I finally heard yesterday, and that's why we're here today, is he's going forward with the 42 homes and joining our association and not providing any additional amenities. So I would like the committee to reject this application with the caveat that he presents it to the homeowners, since now, according to the declarations, it requires a 70% vote for approval. Thank you.
Okay. All right, anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, step right up. Okay, I'm sorry. You and then, ma'am, you can go. I'm sorry. I wasn't clear enough. Come on.
Sorry.
You're good.
My name is Sue Brenner. I live in Lewis Crossing, And I want to tell you guys I'm so impressed, because when I saw you all last time in one of these meetings, I was very impressed. I've seen a lot of this in Montgomery County, and they're not as knowledgeable as you all. So that said, I also want to thank the Gazette for the wonderful reporting they do, and we kind of keep up on what you guys are doing. I am here as a realtor. I've been a realtor for 38 years. My brother's a commercial developer. My other brother's a commercial leasing agent. My mother was a realtor for 40 years. My biggest concern is real estate value and what's happening here. I did type up a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm not going to go back with it because I listened to the lady who spoke earlier, and she was right. The infrastructure, I'm scared to death about. In Ocean City, this happened. The developers came in. They did crazy things. They built condos on the ocean. They were approved. And then people sued them. And then the economy crashed, and you couldn't give your house away. If you keep building, how are we going to resell our houses? If developers are building these big projects, how are we going to do it? You can't. It was never disclosed to me that Phase 8 was going to be part of this community. Never was. I asked specifically to Ryan Holmes. No, we're not doing a Phase 8. They don't even have anything on the books for Phase 8. I'm like, excuse me, my brother-in-law is a commercial developer. He said it's on the books. They said, no, we're not going to do anything. So I proceeded to sign my contract. Never got my documents, and they are required to give me my documents. Never got them. Got them 2 weeks after I settled. Now, is that protocol? I don't know. You're an attorney, I don't know.
I would question why you settled if you had concerns.
I absolutely questioned them on that. And they promised me they were not doing 8.
Well, I think there's your trouble. I think you need to go have a conversation with whoever made that promise.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's why I'm standing here, because it's got to stop. The infrastructure cannot carry this kind of development. We all know it. I've talked to Joan Devers many times about it. I'm scared to death. I see Ocean City. It's coming back. Because I'm not going to be able to sell my house 2 years from now. If this developer or any developer is building 500 homes down the street, I won't be able to give mine up. You won't either. So we have to get the infrastructure.
I don't have any intention to sell mine. So
well, I don't either, because I moved here because I like it here. And by the way, the guy out there.
I live on the western side of the county, so.
Can I go over there?
Absolutely. Plenty of room.
What I'm seeing here.
Plenty of room, and probably
people
a third
are great
of the price.
Here. This is a little much, I think, for me to digest. I moved here to get away from this kind of craziness.
Yeah.
My husband had his knee replaced. He would be here speaking rather than me. Yeah. He's a farmer from a background. He's built embassies all over the world. He spoke to you at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in shock that when I ask somebody a question, they don't give me the answer. And then they come back and beat around the bush and say, well, we didn't know anything. Builders, Pulte, Ryan, not Ryan, NV, because Ryan doesn't co-op with realtors in Maryland. Pulte, Ryan, Horton, you name it. They've all called me, paid me money to do feasibility studies for them. to find out who's moving in, how much money they have, what kind of jobs are bringing them in, what kind of houses. Ryan Holmes worked with this developer, I guarantee it, on trying to figure out what they could build across the street. And I'm not going to go on the other details or somebody else is going to speak, but my biggest concern is the infrastructure. Okay. I was told it was not going to work, okay, that our sewer system was at full capacity. Okay. Is that correct?
I don't believe so.
Well, that's what they told me.
Well, they lied.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Or they were misinformed. We'll certainly grant them that they could have been misinformed.
They could have been misinformed. Mm-hmm. But as far as I'm concerned, I need disclosure. It's part of my job. If I was not disclosed, if I ask you something and you're giving me a false information, I expect you to be responsible for what happens after that.
Okay.
So that's my beef. I'm really worried about the infrastructure.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. All right. Who's next?
Lady in Pink.
The Lady in Pink is next. That's right. And she has a bodyguard with her.
I'm thinking she's guarding him.
Good evening. Yeah, good evening. My name is Angela Taylor, and this is my husband, Anthony. And we live right beside Lewis Crossing currently.
Okay.
And we're dealing with a water issue. I do want to show you a picture. So I'm hoping they're going to fix the roads if they're going to start building across the street. Our driveway floods every time it rains.
Okay.
Okay. That's our house. So
okay.
We've been dealing with the construction for quite a while. It's loud, it's noisy, and they're there before like 5:30 in the morning, Monday through Sunday.
And you're not in Lewis Crossing?
No, we're not part
of Lewis Crossing.
No, we're not.
In the last one on the end.
We're right where he was talking about where the pump station is at.
Right.
Is right here. Right there. We had a drain well there. They came there, they took it out. They took the drain well out and took and said they moved it into the construction entrance, which is over here. Okay? Whenever it rains, for some reason, all the water comes right there in our driveway. It just floods right there. I talked to Ryan Holmes, site manager. No one told us. He told us he couldn't do anything for us because he didn't do the work. So I had to talk to Horsey. I called Horsey.
Yeah.
And I talked to them. I left them 4 messages. I gave my phone number. No one contacted us about it. No one talked to us at all. What they done, they took and came and put sod in front of the pump station, and they made like a little ditch in the sod so the water can drain. Well, the water's not going anywhere.
But it's going uphill.
Water doesn't run uphill. If you look at on that road, all the water that's coming up from Church Lane is coming down to our house. If you look the other way, all the water that's coming from the other way is coming right down to our house. So it would make sense to put a drain ditch somewhere there. They took ours out, and water just stands there now.
Like I said, our driveway is starting to tear up.
Our engineering do anything to
expose? I don't know. I'll talk to county engineering and conservation.
The problem you're experiencing may or may not be related to this application we're talking about this evening, but we'll try to get some help for you through Sussex County Engineering Department, and possibly the Soil Conservation District needs to be alerted to this problem, because if the construction is causing this issue, then the Soil Conservation District, I believe, has some authority to require the constructor to address it. And I think it's a matter of getting in touch with the right people.
Okay, but before they started doing the development, we had that drain there, and it wasn't a problem.
Right.
Why did they take it out?
We don't know. We have no idea. This is the first we've heard of it.
When they redid the roads and everything,
okay,
that's when they came through and they took them out.
Was it drained in the state easement? Was it in the state easement, support part of the state road drainage?
Yes. It was right there in front of the pump station.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a handoff issue.
Was it taken out when the pump station was built?
No, it was there when the pump station was built.
I'm just asking, was it taken out?
Took it out when they started doing the road work there. When they started building in there, Lord's Cross, they took it out.
Okay.
I think
that story needs to be told to the soil conservation people because they would have some jurisdiction over that, I think.
Was it taken out when they put the construction entrance in, or was it just when all of it was sort of going on?
When all of it was going on, yeah. When they started doing the road work. And they started, because they went, I think, next to my neighbor's, the Rice property. They went to there, and they tore that road out when they redid the roads and stuff and blacktopped it and everything. And that's when they took it out. Because on the old side, across the road, there used to be a well that goes to the property across the road. Mm-hmm. All that's taken out. They took all of it out. And what?
Is your lot right next door to the pump station?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So there was a stormwater pipe that ran it from one side of the road to the other? Is that? Mm-hmm. Okay. And all that's been taken out?
It's gone.
And I know that may not be an issue about the application, but we are in opposition to Phase 8 because it's going to be directly in front of our property. We're already having an issue now getting out of the driveway to go up the street. The traffic backs up past our house in the summertime. We sit there 10, 15 minutes just trying to get out on the road. And that's Monday through Friday. Saturday is even worse. So the traffic issue is just not good for more houses. I'm sorry, it's just not.
And sometimes
I usually go out on the left. Now I usually go out right, go through Jimtown Road, on Plantation Road, just to get to the highway because of the traffic. So it's
done that myself.
It's terrible.
We all go to these sites, so it's easier. I understand.
So now we're going to fight with traffic coming this way, that way, and from the development. So we're going to be looking this way, and across there before we can even get out onto the road. It's just not a good spot. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
All right,
we thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question? Just not to them, to Mr. Scherer or Mr. Davis.
Sure.
I think there was a statement that there was going to be stormwater piped from one side to the other. Maybe I misheard that. Or is it all internal within Phase 8, I guess, or 7, or what's on that side?
It'll be all internal with Phase 8. I don't recall during our design of Lewis Crossing that there was a stormwater pipe crossing Beaver Dam Road in that area. Now, I do understand, I think as part of our wastewater design, we abandoned the pump station and put a manhole in there, and that was part of what the engineering department wanted. So during that, some construction may have occurred along that swale. It's a DelDOT swale, so a pipe may have been taken out. So that's something that we can address with DelDOT. And I can say that as part of the expansion of, real quickly, of the roadway system in front of Phase 8, we will be taking care of all the stormwater that's in that area as well. So anything that's lingering from the previous construction, which there shouldn't be, it should have been put all back in kind. And that's something we can take a look at as well. But it would be a DelDOT, maybe contacting DelDOT would probably be the, so that they can go out there and fix that drainage area or something can be done while we're constructing part of Lewis Crossing. So that can be looked at.
Thanks, Mr. Bridget.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, yes, sir, come on up.
My name is John Zoislak, and I live in Lewis Crossing, and I'm part of the advisory committee.
Okay.
And first of all, I just want to say that I'm not necessarily against the 42 homes being added in. That's a little different from a few other people here.
I understand.
But I do agree with the one resident who brought up the disclosure. I don't think that was handled correctly, and I do agree with Mr. Johansson about, I think, that the current residents really should be involved in how this 19 and a half acres is developed. My concern is now that we're, if this 42 homes comes through, we're going to have 80-some homes across the street. Lewis Crossing is very unique because it's split almost like a 60-40 mm-hmm. between a major road. In the last two times that we were looking at density there, there was a pool that was supposed to be put in this phase eight. That was taken out when we went to 42 single-family homes. Our concern is the safety. I don't know how people are going to cross Beaver Dam Road to get to the pool on the other side of Lewis Crossing. Seniors and elders and kids. Beaver Dam is that they drive extremely fast. They don't follow the speed limits there. We don't have a crosswalk there. There's nothing planned that I know of. And someone mentioned there was no traffic study plan done, which I think should be done there. But I'm really concerned about the liability on how people are going to cross that street of now, if we have 82 homes over there, to get over to the pool on the opposite side. So that's pretty much the piece I wanted to bring up, that we're just starting to communicate with the developer, and you want to work with them. We're trying to work through these issues. And that's why I'd like to ask for a postponement of this, so we can go back to the table and kind of talk about perhaps adding a pool over there and eliminating this safety issue of people having to cross the main road. And that's my two cents.
All right, sir. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to put in their two cents? Yes, all the way in the back.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Lawrence. I'm a resident of Lewis Crossing and also a member of the five-person advisory, Lewis Crossing Advisory Committee. And I'm going to try not to be too repetitive, but I want to try to encapsulate some of the comments that you heard previously. You'll hear and will hear a number of concerns related to this proposal, but I think what Randy just said is fair and true of the majority of the current residents of Lewis Crossing, that I think there's relatively little opposition to the development of this 19 acres as it stands. I think anyone looking at the location and the condition of that piece of land realizes that development is inevitable. The overriding concern is with the impact that development potentially has on the residents of Lewis Crossing phases 1 through 7, particularly the infrastructure and the amenities that are part of that development. A lot of us believe that the amenities, the pool and the clubhouse that exist are minimally sized for the 192 homes that will be part of phases 1 through 7, let alone 42 additional homes as part of phase 8. As Mr. Johansson summarized, we have sought to work with the developer to find a solution that would mitigate as many of those impact concerns as possible. And there's been back and forth with the developer and with the developer's on-site representative and various unwritten suggestions or possible offers made and then withdrawn. And again, the most recent one was this possibility of reconsidering the nature of the proposal as single-family homes and going back to a consideration of duplexes as a separate HOA. And when we heard that the developer might be willing to consider that, we thought that resolves a good deal of our concerns. And then, again, as Mr. Johansson indicated, we only learned late yesterday that now that possibility was taken off the table by the developer. Because of this back and forth, we've been, as I say, trying to work it out and hopefully avoiding getting into the legal side of matters. We do believe there are legal issues with this, the disclosure that's been mentioned or lack thereof. I will say, again, categorically, I too, the public offering statement I was given at my closing did not include a copy of Amendment 1 or the corrected Amendment 1 that were actually in place at that time. So I didn't learn until at least a month after my closing of the possibility of something like a Phase 8. So anyway, given the way things ended up yesterday, the advisory committee now realizes that it's probably in our best interest to seek legal counsel as to how to proceed further in this issue. And so we submitted a hand-delivered a letter to the local counsel for the developer this morning seeking a postponement of their consideration of their proposal at this meeting. And probably not surprisingly, we didn't get a response to that. But I wanted to leave a copy of that letter for the record. With that. And finally, the last thing I'll mention, the one of the previous presenters for the developer talked about the amendment that provided the possible annexation of the 19 acres in question, and sought to somewhat downplay the significance of the 42 homes that are now proposed for that by saying, well, the amendment allows for up to 150 homes, and look, we're only proposing 42. But I believe, I understand you have a copy of that amendment, and I think if you take a look at that, you'll see that it not only provides for the annexation of this 19-acre tract, but it also a second tract of 419 acres. And that 150 homes that are also addressed as part of that amendment, there's nothing in there to distinguish that those 150 homes might have come from this 19 acres. The total is more like 440 acres that have been potentially annexed into the, I think it's 80 some acres currently that make up phases one through seven of Lewis Crossing. So I thank you for your time.
We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name is Peter Swartout, and I live in Lewis Crossing. And this will be quick. I understand there can be amendments and covenants and paperwork and everything that kind of gets slid in. And I guess if you're an attorney, you know to look for those things or know that they could exist. Otherwise, you really do depend on what you're being told being the truth. It's one thing if you're not told and you could have found it out, but what you're told should be the truth. And when my wife and I went to contract all the way through closing, we were told Lewis Crossing is seven phases, 192 homes, period. Not, oh, it's seven phases, 192 homes right now, could be more later, every time. Seven phases, 192 homes, isn't it beautiful? So we bought. And now we're finding a covenants, amendments, this, that, slipped in, you know. So yeah, legally, I guess you could take it that way. But you're relying on what you're being told by the selling agent. And that's what we were told. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Greg Fido. Just one last point. I remember when I was listening to Middle Creek Preserve where Lawrence said to the gentleman, why would you put a pool all the way in the front of development? Why don't you put it in the middle so people don't have to drive to it? Well, if they're not going to put a pool in Phase 8, why would you want those people to cross Beaver Dam Road with no pedestrian walkway or any safety lights or anything like that or stop signs? I'm just concerned about residents in 7 and 8 getting hurt. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name's Nancy Heiss. I'm a resident of Lewis Crossing. I just wanted to touch on that so many people have brought up the traffic issue, how unsafe it is to even pull a car out onto Beaver Dam. So again, I mean, Phase 7 was going to already have to deal with that, but now with even more people, it is a safety issue. And I'm not sure why the extra amenity of the pool came off of the table. When they dropped it down to 42 homes. But, and the second issue is on the disclosure.
That might be the answer right there.
Yeah.
You know, 42 homes is kind of hard to support a pool with 42 homes.
Yeah, but now there's 84.
Well, it could be.
Phase 7 and Phase 8. We knew about Phase 7 Phase 8 may have been in writing, as that was previously pointed out, but nowhere in the papers. And the second item is, there's a lot of papers, and you ask several people, you know, is this all there is? And they're like, yes. So, any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, they have, and I appreciate the one gentleman who pointed it out about the possible annexation, but just for the record, I just want to point out under that corrected First Amendment, it does reference under A-1 that they might annex this property, the 19.5 acres, but they might also annex the 419.64 acres, which at the current density that they have would translate into 910 more homes. It's in writing. That's my comment, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then. Any other comments, questions? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you very much. Okay, that completes our public hearings. Moving on to other business.